ओम नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम फोर्थ कैंटो चैप्टर 28 पुरंजन बिकम्स अ वुमन इन द नेक्स्ट लाइफ टेक्स्ट 26 ट्रांसलेशन पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। तं यज्ञ पशवो नेना संयप्ता ये दयालुना कुथारैश्चिच्चिदु क्रुद्धा स्मरन्तो मीवमस्य तत्। The most unkind king, Puranjana, had killed many animals in various sacrifices. Now, taking advantage of this opportunity, all these animals began to pierce him with their horns. It was as though he were being cut to pieces by axes. Purport. Those who are very enthusiastic about killing animals in the name of religion or for food must await similar punishment after death. The word mangsha, meat, indicates that those animals whom we kill will be given an opportunity to kill us. Although in actuality no living entity is killed, the pains of being pierced by the horns of animals will be experienced after death. Not knowing this, rascals unhesitatingly go on killing poor animals. So-called human civilization has opened many slaughterhouses for animals in the name of religion or food. Those who are little religious kill animals in temples, mosques, or synagogues, and those who are more fallen maintain various slaughterhouses. Just as in civilized human society, the law is a life for a life. No living entity can encroach upon another living entity as far as the Supreme Lord is concerned. Everyone should be given freedom to live at the cost of the Supreme Father. An animal killing, either for religion or for food, is always condemned by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Bhagavad Gita 16:19, Lord Krishna says, Tanaham dvishata kruran sammas samsareshu nararaman kshipam yajasram ashubhan asurisveva yonishu. Those who are envious and mischievous, who are the lowest among men, are cast by me into the ocean of material existence, into various demoniac species of life. The animal killers, dvishataha, envying other living entities and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are placed in darkness and cannot understand the theme and objective of life. This is further explained in the following verses. The law is a life for a life. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. So it's a law. Law given Dharman Susakshat Bhagavat Pranitam, ultimately by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, laws of nature. Every reaction has a reaction, and nobody is exempt. And there are activities that produce very severe, serious reactions, and other activities, maybe lighter reactions, but every activity has a reaction, either good or bad. Here we have Puranjan experiencing the reactions to having killed many animals in various sacrifices. It says in this verse, in previous chapters we have seen that he actually went also hunting. And there's a whole list of animals he had killed. And it is stated that he was very cruel, so much so that the citizens, the other people in the state, they were wondering and they were very uncomfortable seeing his activities. Actually, they were feeling for the animals, and Prabhupada mentions in the purport that devotees in general, or any person with a little more elevated consciousness, just by seeing these kind of activities, he feels pain and would like to do something about it. At any rate, the point is that Puranjan, the living entity, that's the analogy, he has been killing in so many different ways, and now the reactions are coming. Sometimes reactions don't come immediately. That's another aspect of this law. And Maya is very clever, so she may make us think, oh, nothing happens. I'm having done this, no reaction. Now, sometimes if we do something to a person, immediately we get a reaction. You push somebody, he turns around and maybe even push back, or whatever you do, there will be an equivalent reaction. Laws of nature are not necessarily like that. You may do so many things and apparently nothing happens. So if one has no knowledge, one will go on acting in ways that are actually very detrimental to one's consciousness, thinking that one can get away with it. In human society also, foolish people think they can maybe get away with criminal acts. And maybe yes, in this lifetime it seems that they could escape justice, although most of the time everybody gets caught sooner or later. It may take sometimes many, many years. We have seen this in different cases, that sometimes after 30 years suddenly somebody is detected, somebody has recognized a criminal, and then he is brought to justice. But even in case he made it to the grave, got away with it, then next life, the law of nature will make sure the reaction will come. So devotees, they know this, they should know this, and generally we may say with certainty that devotees don't kill animals, at least not for food or for sacrifice. Inadvertently, that's a law of nature also. One may step on an ant or may slap a mosquito, so this may happen. But this type of activity where one consciously kills an animal, especially for food, Prabhupada mentions slaughterhouses, devotees don't do that. But there are other activities that are also mentioned, because meat eating, eating of fish and eggs, is one of the regulative principles in devotional life. And there are three more: no illicit sex, no intoxication, and no gambling. And we have seen that although devotees may avoid eating meat and fish and eggs, to avoid illicit sex, intoxication, and gambling may not be so easy, or sometimes the consciousness may be, it's not such a big deal, it's not so serious to kill an animal and eat it. I'm doing harm to some other living entity that I understand, so I won't do that. But I have a little sex and I smoke a joint or do a little stock market ventures. What's the harm? If there's any harm, it goes only towards me. I'm not involving anybody else. So maybe we think that these kind of activities are not as serious. But they are called in the Bhagavatam the four pillars of sinful life, from which all the other sinful activities come. And all of them the reaction, besides reactions as we see here, the reaction is that one will forget Krishna. That's the reaction. And that's actually very serious. If we don't remember Krishna and we are forgetful, then what is the result? Very simple. We stay here. That's the reaction, first reaction. Prabhupada in one purport, he says, okay, you want to do all these things, go on and just stay in this material world. And of course, I have heard it at least personally, sometimes devotees even say, yes, I know, I'll have to take birth again because I have so many desires and I'm already adjusting my mind to that future scenario that I will have to come back. And well, I have accepted that. This is not a good idea. To speculate that, well, maybe we speculate I will be born in a devotee family, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, those who don't make it in this lifetime, at least they're coming back to very rich family, or at least a Brahmin family, a highly elevated family, and they get another chance in their next life. So even though this may be, there may be another chance, there may be another opportunity, but even then, it's no guarantee that then one will be able to take advantage again, fully. Just the contrary, Prabhupada in one lecture he mentions, even though one may, especially if one is born in a family, well-to-do family, no anxiety about finances, that may be a great detriment. If you don't have to work, you get the inheritance, and then you have all the money at your disposal, then you just go off the track wholesale and forget Krishna again and engage in so many sinful activities, taking birth again. So this is not a good idea. Therefore, the acharyas, the great sages, Prabhupada, he says, they offer us these rules and regulations. It's an offer. You take it or you leave it. You're not obliged. But those who are intelligent, they will understand why, what's the positive effect or what is the benefit of following this offer or these rules, that one, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, yesham twantagatam papam jananam punya karmanam, those who have finished with papa, with these sinful activities, and they're acting now piously, then dvandva moha vinirmukta, they become free from the duality of illusion. And bhajante mam drida varataha, they become resolute, they become determined, they get the strength to worship the Lord. And otherwise, bhogaishwarya prasaktanam tayaparita chetanam, then if there's too much attachment to these type of activities, killing animals, illicit sex, taking drugs, and gamble, wasting time, then there can be no determination in devotional service. And illusion will not go away, duality will not go away, and as we already mentioned, it's guaranteed you have to take birth again. So that's the options we have, and it's very clear. And there's no exception. Like Puranjan, he had killed so many animals, now all these animals are coming back, taking their right. As Prabhupada says, if you kill an animal, it is understood, the word mangsa indicates that those animals whom we kill will be given an opportunity. They have the right to kill us. It's the law. You have taken my life, now I can take your life. It's very simple logic. So, so all these activities, if they have their corresponding reactions, just as the animals get a right to take our life, all these other activities also have a corresponding reaction that is scientific. It's already sure, 100% sure, and there's no exception to it. So therefore, if we really want to perfect our life, if we have understood the goal of life, to develop love of Krishna, Krishna Prema, and to get free from the duality of the material world, then those who are intelligent, they will accept this offer and follow the process of devotional service as it is given by the acharyas, and in this way experience also the result of doing that. This is also a law. It's not the law of material nature exactly, it's the law of devotional service. As soon as we follow in the footsteps of the acharyas, if we follow the instructions of the spiritual master, then also there will be a result. It's not that sometimes yes, sometimes no. Although ultimately everything depends on the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's not a business. I do this and I get this much back. Still, as Prabhupada says, Krishna is not ungrateful. It's not that we engage in devotional service, we seriously, sincerely follow the process, and there's no result. That is not like that. So we can experience, and this will give us enthusiasm, will give us impetus to continue with the process and go deeper and deeper by actually seeing that as soon as one follows just these basic rules, one actually immediately will see a difference in one's life. I think all devotees, because most of us, at least in the past, nowadays maybe more pious souls are being born, and they have not engaged in those four kinds of sinful activities. But those of my age, I think, was no exception. We all have experienced eating unmentionable food, engaging in frivolous sexual activities, and taking some intoxicant of one kind or another, more severe, less severe. And gambling, well, most of us, we don't had much money, then there was not much gambling. But still, frivolous sports, all this was there. So, what is the experience when we gave it up? And it's like a miracle. Actually, that's Prabhupada's and Krishna's miracle, that people who were engrossed in these four types of sinful activities, especially meat eating, is very detrimental, that somehow or other, by the potency of the pure devotee, they were able to give it up. Actually, when Prabhupada arrived in Boston Harbor, he wrote in his poem that how can these people give up these four things? It's like almost unimaginable how they will be able to give this up. And he thought, as soon as I mentioned, don't eat meat, no illicit sex, no intoxication, okay, go home. No interest. This is our life. As we know, when one of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's missionaries was asked by Lord Zetland to become a Brahmin, he said, yes, no problem. What's the condition? Give up these four things. Impossible. This is our life. If we don't do this, then what are you living for? And we have experienced, sometimes you explain, you speak to somebody about Krishna consciousness and you explain what we are doing or what we are not doing, and they look at you like, what? Then what are you living for? You don't do this. This is all which gives us pleasure. These are the pleasurable activities. Without this, life has no meaning. It's dry. There's no taste. We're all looking for taste. Yes, sure, there is taste. This is the lower taste. Of course there is taste, otherwise nobody would do it. And as Bhagavatam says in the 11th canto, it's the natural inclination of the living entity to eat meat, to engage in illicit sex, and to take intoxicants. And therefore the Vedas, well, they recognize this condition and they give some license, some sacrifice you do here and there, and then you, under certain conditions, you can do all these things. But as the verse says, it's not to encourage, just the contrary, to finally lead that living entity to renounce those activities. So, but the inclination is there, and that's the point, that it's the natural taste of the conditioned soul. And unless you experience something better, you cannot give it up, it's impossible. That's why this person, he could not imagine what it would mean to be a devotee and experience a higher taste just by thinking of just giving up everything, and there's no alternative. No, impossible. That's, life has no meaning. So devotees, they have this challenge to experience a little bit of a higher taste at least, in order to be able to give up these four things. And as I said, it's like a miracle that we, in the beginning, just by inconceivable mercy of Guru and Krishna, that we will be able to give up these activities and engage in devotional service, and then experience that there is a higher taste, and there's no need for these kind of lower tastes or pleasures. And as one advances, then later on we see there's this verse by Yamunacharya who states that when he is experiencing the higher taste of Krishna consciousness, Yaravadi Mama Cheta Krishna Pararavinde, at the lotus feet of Krishna, and there's actually Navanavarasa, there's always a newer taste. And this is on the advanced stage of devotional service. Then he says, when I'm thinking of my past life, because he had been a king, and he had not had just one wife, he had a harem, many wives, he had had plenty opportunity to engage in illicit sex. So he specifically mentions in that verse, when I think of my past and engaging in these activities, actually now the reaction, the natural reaction is a distaste, inconceivable for the materialistic person, like Lord Zetland. If they would have presented him the verse of Yamunacharya, he said, this person must be sick. This is not normal. At least he's not normal. Maybe he, has some mental problem. How can you, thinking of these things, not become enlivened and want to, where do I find the next opportunity? That's what materialistic people try to do. They try to remember more and more these types of activities and then look for opportunities. Just the opposite. So therefore, it's actually a miracle. It is a miracle that it is possible by Krishna, by His grace, by the Guru's grace, to experience a higher taste and become disinterested. Now this is the test, that vairagya, the detachment from especially these four kinds of sinful activities, that it becomes natural. There's no more attraction. And again, if we go back to what we see in this verse, here we have Puranjan in connection with killing animals and eating meat. Now, as I said, for devotees, 99.999%, there's no problem, I think, with eating meat. And you can make a little experiment in your mind. Well, here you don't have it, but if you go to the West, easily you pass through a street and there will be a place where there are, how you say, asado, de los pollos asados, roasting some poor animal. And that produces a strong smell. So devotee, or you go by a place where they have fish, this also produces a pretty, supermarkets have this problem. There's all kinds of section. You want to buy something, but then there's the section with the fish and all that. And normally what I try to do is take breath of air and hold the breath and pass that without, you know, having to inhale and smell it. Anyway, what I'm trying to explain is that naturally we will not have an attraction for the smell of the roasted chicken or for the smell of the fish section in a supermarket. So that shows there's a higher taste, because other people, another person comes by and he smells the roasted chicken and he goes, and he will jump, you know, run to eat because he's attracted, or she is attracted. Right? So there's a taste for it. So for this kind of taste, eating meat or eating fish or eggs, that we already experienced, no, there's no more taste. Actually, there's a distaste. If we have to smell something like that, there's a repulsion. So similarly, Yamunacharya, he felt this kind of reaction thinking about his past activities in connection with enjoying sex, which for most of us is incomprehensible. Unfortunately, incomprehensible. If we think, well, don't think, but if these kind of thoughts come up, that's the test. Is there an attraction? Not only that, will we become so inspired, or let's say excited, that one will look for satisfying this taste? That's the problem. At least the intelligence should be strong enough to say, thank you, no. So this is possible. And if we don't have, if we have not come to that stage, then we have a problem. Definitely we have a problem. This is the biggest problem in the material world. Having a smoke, generally, I hope not many have this problem sitting in this assembly. But we know that also amongst the devotees this is becoming or has become a problem. So much so that I was surprised to see this year in Mayapur there was a notice on the bulletin board: anybody who is caught selling drugs or taking part in a party where they consume drugs and do this kind, he is banned for 2 years from Mayapur. So apparently this is going on right there in the Holy Dham. There are parties where you can enjoy taking drugs. So this is not very good, it's not a good sign. Because as long as we are engrossed in these activities, as we mentioned in the beginning, remembering Krishna will be very, very difficult. Actually, any of these will make you forget. Just think about it. If one engages in any of these activities, especially while you are engaged in this activity, you cannot remember Krishna really. At least not positively. So that's why the acharyas offer these rules, and meat eating is one, actually it's one of the most serious ones. As we know, in the beginning of the 10th canto, Pashugnad, this word is used. And it is said that anybody will be attracted to hearing about Krishna, except for those who are Pashugnat, who are killing animals, and it also means who are killing their own souls. But the other three also, any of these four pillars of sinful life, unless we can go beyond those, it will be very difficult to remember Krishna. Rather, one will forget him to the degree that when one is engrossed in these activities, one will forget Krishna more and more. So that's the main reason for having these four regulative principles, and on the positive side, to chant the holy name so we can remember Krishna. Ultimately, that's the injunction. Smartavyak Satatang Vishnu, Vismartavyo Najatuchit. Always remember Krishna, never forget him. And all these vidis and nishedas, all these do's and don'ts, they are just kinkara, they're just servants, assistants to this main rule. So these four regulative principles, finally, they're just servants. They're just assistants. They're just a means, a tool to help us to become Krishna conscious. That's all. They're not there to make our life miserable. Don't do this. Don't do this. Oh my God. We become depressed. No. They're actually for our benefit. So I will stop here. There's 15 minutes time for maybe some comments from our sages. Or if there's some question. Maharaj, do you want to, any one of you want to comment something? So we have a question here. Please pass the microphone.
Thank you for your wonderful class, Prabhu. Question, you quoted Yesham to Antagatam Papam, that those children who take birth in devotee family, supposedly they were devotees in the past and they've come back to continue their devotional service. My question is that, at least in the West, I've observed that a lot of devotee children, their absorption in non-Krishna conscious activities through the computer or, you know, different things like that, their reluctance to practicing sadhana and so on. I'm comparing this with maybe when I was 17 years old, I was born in a non-devotee family, moved in into an ashram, but I had a strong inclination. So I'm observing those who took birth in devotee family, but at the same time, they don't display that. So how do we understand the Yesham to Antagatam Papam?
Well, every case is an individual case. I mean, if somebody is born, even in a devotee family, unless it's a ray of Vishnu, they are born because they have not finished their devotional life. And because of some offense or sinful activities in the past, they had to take birth again. And therefore, as I said, it's no guarantee. Even being born in the devotee family is not automatically a guarantee that one will become Krishna conscious. And we have other examples. Just think of the sons of Advaita Acharya. Half of them were devotees and the other half were impersonalists. There was even being born in the family of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's no guarantee. Even Prabhupada's children, not all of them took actively to devotional service. So therefore it's a big risk. As I said, when I hear a devotee say yes, yes, he's not even determined to try to become Krishna conscious in this lifetime, and he's already thinking that I have to take birth again. This is a very big risk. Because even though you may take birth in a devotee family, but then there's this damned computer in front of you. You grow up with, you know, and you have access to the internet, to everything under the sun that you can imagine. And it ruins your mind. Blows your mind to pieces. So it's a great risk. Yes, the parents, of course, they have to try, and they try their best in most cases, I hope, that, you know, their children become Krishna conscious. At least, I mean, there's never any loss. Like, I had four children, and not all of them are devotees. At least one is a good devotee, by fortune. But we tried, especially I observed in the very beginning years when they practically have no choice, right? They have to take prasadam. They have to listen to the holy name because, you know, there they are, 2, 3, 4 years old, and you say, sit down, now we have a program, now we chant the holy name together, and they sit there, and even when once they get a little older, they participate also. But then comes that point, by bad association especially, when they meet friends who tell them about so many other things in the world, then the mind, they become diverted very easily. So, but what I wanted to say is, during a certain period of their life, at least, if the parents are Krishna conscious, then they have a strong impression of Krishna consciousness in their heart, which is never a loss, it's a benefit. So then, later on, they have to make a choice, because they grow up, and then they have to consciously say, yes, I will continue in this line, like my parents, to become a devotee. Or they may choose, well, this is not for me, I want to enjoy the material world. And then Maya will take care, and maybe Krishna indirectly, to slap them enough so that, you know, sometime, who knows, in the future, they'll remember when I was small, you know, this was there and that and all. And then they may come back, who knows, you never know.
Thank you. I just got one other question. The sacrifice that Puranjan or Maharaj Prachinabarhi was performing, this is prescribed according to script here, but we are learning about the grave reactions to this animal sacrifice. So
can yes.
you just speak a little bit that even prescribed activities can result in some unwanted or unfavorable experiences?
Yeah, I was wondering about that also, and I think I found the answer. That's in the verse I mentioned, 10.1.4, Pashugnat, where it is said that those who kill, then they will not be interested in hearing about Krishna. So Prabhupada speaks about the sacrifices. He said the word Pashugnat is important in this connection. Pashugna means butcher. Persons fond of performing ritualistic ceremonies for elevation to the higher planetary systems must offer sacrifices, yajñas, by killing animals. Lord Buddha therefore rejected the authority of the Vedas because his mission was to stop animal sacrifices which are recommended in Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. So, although it's mentioned in the Vedas, still there's a reaction. So then Prabhupada says, even though animal sacrifices are sanctioned in Vedic ceremonies, men who kill animals for such ceremonies are considered butchers. So.
We have many cases, even here, King Prachinabarhi. Narada Muni shows him at one point all these animals are going to come and attack him. The ones that he killed in the sacrifice. And even Bhujakunda personally saw Krishna face to face, had to take birth again as a preacher because he had engaged in, as a king, in sacrifices and had killed citizens and animals. And therefore, although he had done that as a matter of duty, he still had to take birth again and purify himself.
Prabhupada also describes that government, they license things, you know, like marriage or alcohol, because it's bad. But people want it, so they license it, they restrict it. So these sacrifices are a kind of restriction,
right,
because people want to eat meat. So, okay, don't just open slaughterhouse unlimitedly. Do it in a certain way, but there's reaction to it.
Yes. That's what we said about the 11th canto, that the inclination is a natural inclination to eat meat, to engage in illicit sex, and to take intoxicants. So therefore, the Vedas give some license, but not for encouragement, but ultimately to renounce. Yes, there are always people who want this. They're foolish, but they want it. So then, to give them some way of at least restricting it, not completely unrestricted. So then you have all these arrangements, marriage or licensed liquor houses and certain places where you can, times when you can sacrifice the animal with certain mantras and all that, but not completely unrestricted like nowadays. And all this is meant for cutting down or minimizing and finally discouraging. Especially when Prabhupada talks about taking that goat in a moonless night, and then giving this mantra that now I'm going to take your life and next life you're going to, you can kill me. So he's saying, any sane person, after a few times you have done this, you'll say, is it really worth it? eat a little bit of goat meat and I have to take birth again just because this goat has to take my life? This is ridiculous. I'm going to, forget it, take some pakoras and... As Prabhupada said, if you do pakoras, I think cauliflower pakoras, right? In a certain way with ghee, they will fry it, then they may have similar taste like chicken, right? So, but it's authorized. Anyway, the point is this, that, these licenses are for restriction, and a little bit more intelligent person after some time will think that it's not worth it. And then give it up. The idea is to give it up. They're just like marriage. I'm going to speak about it. I have been married for 30 years. And I'm going to give it up. But not out of frustration. There's an agreement. And my wife, myself, just have come to, after having four children and many, many years taking care of a family and everything, then naturally, after some time, said, well, okay, that's it. Finished. Not that the, well, now I'm, where's my next life? I have another family. This is not a good idea. You understand, actually, yes. As Prabhupada says, you want to have children, like Krishna expands himself, to enjoy. The more surrounded by so many family and friends and have some enjoyment. But there's also so much trouble. Inevitably, you can't avoid it. It's the material world. Sleepless nights, especially in the beginning, right? Every mother knows that. And if you're a father and you're a little bit sympathetic, then you offer yourself once in a while, tonight you can sleep, I'll take care of the baby. And you do this. When it starts crying, you take the baby and you walk around trying to get him to sleep again. And he'll do. After, if you, do this kind of thing, after some time, he will nod and go to sleep. Okay, whew, I did it. Then you place the baby into the, in the crib. As soon as he hits the mattress, scientific. You have to go again. And the last remedy is take the car, put the baby into the back, and take it. Yeah, in the car, everybody sleeps. Even the babies. Anyway, the point is, although there's a license for this, for an intelligent person, after have gone through the whole thing, then after some time you'll say, well, okay, it's it, but not again. So... all these licenses are ultimately for renunciation.
Sometimes how you get involved with the grandchildren.
No. I already said, no, forget it. I'll look at them from some distance, Maharaj, are sannyasis permitted to take grandchildren in their arms? Yes, right. But you have to tell me. Not that he knows of. Anyway, I'm not too much inclined. So far I haven't any, but they will come probably. Anyway. Yeah. And then great grand. So that's the idea. No, we shouldn't become confused and illusioned by these concepts. Old men still sitting and having all the big family in front of them and feeling like the Prajapati personified. And the queen at the side, everybody wrinkling. No, that's not the idea. So I think it's 9 o'clock sharp. One more, and that's it. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Prabhu, we see sometimes like in front of our own eyes the cows are taken, beautiful cows.
Beautiful?
Cows.
Cows.
Are taken away for slaughtered house, slaughtering. Oh. And like, you know, I am from Kolkata and our temple, after 10 minutes there is a whole area where, like, you know, during this festival for the Muslims, they carry beautiful cows, they drag them, five of them, six of them. So as a SCON devotee, what should we do? It is very painful to see that.
I don't know. I mean, that the local managers may know. I don't know Indian politics and what you can do, what you cannot do. I mean, I have no idea. You can pray, you can... I don't know. I don't know what you can do. What can you do? Legally, can you do anything? Chant Hare Krishna, that's always a good idea. But legally, are you able to do something? So then, what are you going to do? If we become strong enough, we can have an army, you know, police force, and then punish those. But no. If they are protected by the law, these people, if you do something out of sentiment, then they will drag you to the prison, probably. So, what can you do? There's so many, not only here, of course here it's more serious, but everywhere, so many sinful activities are going on. What can you do? You try to become Krishna conscious yourself, give a good example and inspire those who are in doing this to give up these activities. That's all you can do. What else can you do? Perfect your own life and give a good example. That's the best you can do. Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Shiva Prabhupada ki jai. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.